Welcome to the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. My name is Natalie Nidham. I'm a nutritionist, a human potential and epigenetic coach, and I created this podcast to bring you the latest ways to take control of your health and longevity. We cover it all, from new technology to ancestral health practices, personalized interventions, and a very special interest of mine, peptides. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. Before we jump in, I wanted a couple of things I wanted to leave with you. Number one, I want to encourage you guys to leave us a review on whatever platform you happen to be listening to this podcast on, whether it's Spotify or Apple. Those reviews are really how this podcast gets seen and how we're able to reach more people. Secondly, if you get value from this episode, please make sure that you share it out with your friends, your networks, anybody else who you think would also benefit from it. And number three, last but not least, just a reminder to head over to natnidham.com and make sure to sign up for my newsletter, because that's how you'll get to find out about all of the different things that I'm loving these days. I share about a lot of different products, but also I talk about some of the events that I'm involved in, some of the summits and some of the live events that I'll be at this spring that you can join me at as well. One of them being the Hack Your Health Conference in Austin at the end of May, and the other being the Health Optimization Summit in London in June. Okay, now before we jump in, we want to thank our sponsors. So first off, I wanted to share a little bit with you about Body Bio supplements that can truly make a positive impact on your cellular health. I've been using their products now for a while, and I particularly love the phospholipid complex, or as we like to call it, the PC oil. PC oil is a biological substrate, a phospholipid that contributes to cellular membrane structure and function. You can think of it as the building blocks that make up the cell membrane. Functionally, PC oil or phosphatidylcholine enhances the free passage of nutrients into the cell while helping to escort waste out, enhancing the process of cellular metabolism. And we all know that better cell metabolism equals better cellular health, which at the end of the day means a healthier you. Now, with over 25 years as a family business, Body Bio consistently crafts its supplements in-house in the U.S., and they are never oxidized or heat-treated, which is ultimately how these fats get damaged. So to get yours, you can go to bodybio.com today and get 15% off your first order when you use code Natalie, and that's Natalie with an H, N-A-T-H-A-L-I-E. Now, osteoporosis. This is often a condition reserved for older people, specifically women. But did you know that it can also affect young people as well as men? Protecting bone health can start at a young age if we continue to discuss the importance of it, as Kevin Ellis and I do in this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. In this conversation with Kevin, the bone coach, we explore the world of bone health and bone disease. Osteoporosis is affecting more and more people at younger ages due to the sedentary lives with low nutrient diets that society leads. Kevin himself has a fascinating story of his own journey in this. We dive into the standard recommendations that follow an osteoporosis diagnosis, as well as the medication, side effects, and long-term results of these procedures. Most medications require even more follow-up medications, so knowing what you're getting into is important when selecting the route that you want to take and that is right for you. Natural bone restoration is an option for those who don't want to blindly follow the medication route, but you've got to make sure you know what you're doing here. So overall, this conversation offers guidance on exercise, nutrition, and gut health procedures for building and maintaining quality bone tissue for longevity. Kevin Ellis is an integrative nutrition certified health coach, osteoporosis thriver, and founder of The Bone Coach. He has made it his mission to help over a million people around the globe address bone loss, build bone strength, stop fearing fractures, and to lead active lives. He's most famous for helping people with osteopenia and osteoporosis gain clarity and confidence that improvement is possible, and helping them to achieve that very improvement. So now to learn more about Kevin and the many programs he offers, you can go to bonecoach.com or check him out on Instagram at bonecoachkevin. Okay, one more sponsor to thank, and we get to dive into Kevin's world. Sensate is your ultimate solution for a calmer mind and improved well-being. Did you know that the vagus nerve is a direct connection to the primal brain? Research has shown that activating the vagus nerve can calm the brain medulla, that primal brain, reducing stress and anxiety. Sensate is a pioneer in non-invasive sound resonance technology, uniquely designed to gently soothe your nervous system by targeting your sternum. Now, what does that mean in plain English? It means that what Sensate is a palm-shaped device that you rest on your sternum, and you play a musical track on your phone, and that music, it's translated into very specific vibrations that goes through the chest bone and affects the vagus nerve. If you guys have been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I love falling asleep with my Sensate on my chest. It's a little bit like having a kitten purring there, but it's more functional. It's got more intention behind it. Now, Sensate users have reported remarkable improvements, including enhanced sleep quality, including yours truly, increased heart rate variability, reduced anxiety levels, improved focus, and an overall sense of well-being, because you can use it during the day too. Now, by using Sensate, you can say goodbye to stress and hello to a more relaxed, centered you. So you can check it out now and experience transformative stress reduction. Your journey to a calmer mind can start with Sensate. And to do that, you can use code NAT at getsensate.com/NAT.
Hey folks, just a quick reminder that all of the information presented in this podcast is for information purposes only. No medical advice, no diagnosing, no treatments suggested here. Before you try anything that you hear about or learn about here, make sure that you check with your medical provider.
Kevin Ellis, it's a pleasure to have you back. Well, actually, it's a pleasure to see you again, although it's the first time you've been on my show. Welcome.
Matt, thanks for having me. This is going to be a great conversation. Yeah, I loved our last conversation that we had on my podcast.
Yeah, totally. And that was a super fun conversation. And I've been like, ever since then, I've been like, oh, I can't wait to be on the other side of the mic with this guy. And we're going to talk about a topic that is critically important to human health and longevity, both in the present and down the road. And that is all about your bones. And if anybody's watching this, the dead giveaway is Kevin's t-shirt, The Bone Coach. So, you know, the man walks the talk, walks the walk, talks the talk, lives the life. So just as a brief introduction into you and who you are and why you do what you do, like, how the heck did you ever get into this? Like, you know, usually guys are like, they're trainers and this and that. So
when you think about bone health and osteoporosis, you're not thinking about the young male, right? You're thinking about the woman later in life. Maybe you remember a grandma who had a fracture, or a mother or someone like that, that had an injury from weakened bones. For me, my journey started when I was a lot younger. I was in the Marines. I came out of the Marine Corps. I had a lot of digestive issues. I was diagnosed with celiac disease. Celiac disease, obviously an autoimmune condition where when you ingest gluten, it damages the villi in your small intestine, those tiny little nutrient absorption centers, and it blunts them to where they can't do their job. So for me, my body still needed these nutrients, especially calcium, the primary mineral constituent of your bones, to execute its daily functions, and I wasn't absorbing it. So my body was going to my skeleton and pulling from there, and that was leading to bone loss and a subsequent diagnosis of osteoporosis right around 30 years old. So I had this, you know, my father, he passed away really young. I didn't want to go down that same path. I wanted to be there for my kids. So I had a strong impetus to make improvements and changes. And I became, not only did I get the right plan in place for me, I became a coach. I built out a team. Now we've got hundreds of thousands of people in a community helping them build stronger bones at bonecoach.com. And it's been an awesome experience so far.
I love that story. You know, you just blew two myths right out of the water, right? Number one, that osteoporosis is an old person's problem. And number two, that osteoporosis and osteopenia is a women's problem. And you just like in 2 minutes blew that up. And I think you bring up such a good point, right? So not being able to absorb your nutrients, break down your nutrients properly and absorb them was a massive issue, which actually, before we dive into the meat of the episode, I think that brings up another topic, which is another huge subset of people that are at risk for bone density issues, as well as cardiovascular disease. And I know you know where I'm going with this, is people on PPIs. So Absolutely. Proton pump inhibitors, and a lot of them, I mean, there's a lot of women, but many men who suffer from digestive, from GERD, from heart heartburn and reflux get put on PPIs by their docs. And maybe, you know, I mean, I can outline it, but you're the guest. So why don't you talk about, you know, why, how PPIs play into long-term issues for, and this is for men and women again.
Yeah. So antacids are, they're drugs that reduce the production of or increase the suppression of your stomach acid, right? So this would be your proton pump inhibitors, your PPIs, or your H2 receptor antagonist drugs. So like your ranitidine, your Zantac, those kinds of things. PPIs would be omeprazole, Nexium, Prevacid. You hear those names. That's what that is. Now, a lot of those drugs should not be taken ever. And if they are, they're only taken for a very short period of time. A lot of people that I see, they're on them for decades, decades 100%. At a time. And what that's doing is it's that that's reducing that stomach acid. Now, you need stomach acid to properly break down and extract nutrients from your food, like amino acids, the building blocks of protein. Your bones are 50% protein by volume. They need amino acids, calcium, magnesium, iron, B12. If you have low stomach acid, your body, your bones are going to be starved of these nutrients. So you need to wean yourself off of PPIs if you're on them. I mean, obviously discuss that with your physician, figure that out with a practitioner that can help you with that. But that would be a great idea. And then get that stomach acid back up to where it needs to be because you need good stomach acid function.
Yeah, 100%. I'll never forget how shocked I was when I read some studies that talked about how PPIs were originally designed to be used for 6 weeks at most. They were designed to be used as a strategy to allow for a certain degree of healing. And like it was supposed to be an interim thing. And instead it's become the solution to, oh, we can shut down that stomach acid. You won't have to worry about a thing kind of strategy. So, okay. So,
and a lot of people take those drugs because they think they have too much stomach acid when in reality, they actually have too little, right? 100%. They have too little stomach acid.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I mean, we have a big agenda, so I want to keep us moving here.
Sure.
Let's, both of us at different times so far in this 5-minute conversation have mentioned osteoporosis and osteopenia. So maybe let's define for people what those two things are and how they're different.
Yeah. So osteoporosis means porous bones, and it's a condition that's characterized by either not enough bone formation, excessive bone loss, or it's a combination of the two of those things. And in osteoporosis, both your bone density and your bone quality are reduced, and that's going to increase your risk of fracture. Now, the way you find out you have osteoporosis, you get this diagnosis, is through what's called a bone density scan. Mm-hmm. You go, you get this scan, you lay down on a machine, and does a scan. It tells you the actual mineral content of your bone, your bone mineral density. And then it generates a score. And that score, if it's +1 or -1, that's going to be considered normal and healthy. If it's -1 to -2.5, that's considered osteopenia. We would call that low bone mass. Mm-hmm. And that is like a precursor to osteoporosis.
Right.
And osteoporosis is -2.5 and lower. So -2.6, -2.7, so on and so forth. The greater the negative number becomes, the more severe the osteoporosis. Now, most people aren't getting these scans until later in life. Their insurance isn't covering them till later. They're not asking their physicians, especially for women around menopause, mm-hmm. right? Primary osteoporosis it typically occurs as a result of a decrease in estrogen in postmenopausal women. So right around that time in life, there can be a significant drop off in bone density. If you're not aware of this, you're not monitoring it. Maybe you're not on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, something like that. You can have this steep decline of bone density during that time. A lot of people aren't aware of this, or they're not monitoring it, and they don't get these scans done at that time. And I always encourage people, get these scans done, get a baseline earlier in life.
Yeah.
You're reaching peak bone mass right around 30 years old. So 90% of your bone mass put on by the time you turn age 18, remaining 10% fills in by the time you turn about 30. So you just be aware that if you can get a baseline right around that peak bone mass period around 30 years old, then you can monitor future changes from that. So if you have big changes or drops, or maybe you'll just know you didn't reach peak bone mass to begin with.
Yeah.
Because when you were younger, and if you have kids or grandkids, this is really important. So pay attention to this, is if you led a sedentary lifestyle, if you weren't, if you smoked or drank excessively, if you had a poor diet and nutrition, you were drinking a bunch of sugary soft drinks, eating a bunch of candy like I was when I was a kid. I grew up in the Midwest, right? Macaroni is a vegetable where I was growing up. So like, not all the time, it wasn't say everything was bad, but there was a good enough amount of those things that were probably affecting my development at that time. So if you've got young kids, we want to make sure we're getting good vitamin D, vitamin K2, magnesium, calcium, get them the good foundational elements to build strong, healthy bones from when they're young. And also get them doing exercise, get them off the tablets, get them out of the house, get them out running around outside, playing sports, soccer, gymnastics, you know, whatever, moving their body and their bones in these short, sharp, dynamic movements when they're young. That's going to build a good, healthy, quality bone structure that can add 10, 20, 30 years onto their life later on.
Nice. I love that. And I mean, you know, and I think when you were saying calcium, magnesium, D3, K2 for kids, you're not talking about necessarily taking vitamins. It's just eat real food, guys. Like just get your meat, get your vegetables and your meat and your chicken and your fish, like get those things in. And, you know, a lot of people talk about dairy being a pillar of bone health, which it's dairy is a bit of a double-edged sword. There's a lot of kids, even kids who don't tolerate dairy. So don't get too hung up on it. It can be helpful in the right context, but it's not a must.
Yeah. And I totally agree. So dairy can be great if it's right for you, if it works for you. But if you have an autoimmune condition that you're trying to put into remission, or you have some other condition you're trying to navigate, or you just don't tolerate it, then it might not be a good fit, right? But if you are going to consume dairy, or your kids are going to consume dairy, try to go as natural as you possibly can in cultured and fermented forms. So getting 24-hour yogurt. I know it takes a little bit longer to make something like that, but the result is fantastic. Also kefir. Mm-hmm. Kefir can be a great addition too. And then you don't just have to use A2 organic regenerative cow's milk. You could go with camel or sheep or something like that too. So there are options that you have there if that's even part of your plan.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love that you brought up camel milk. It's so funny. It hasn't been in my, I haven't even thought about camel milk in years. There used to be a guy that used to come to the biohacking shows with a camel. And he was,
I have some.
You do?
I have some in the freezer,
it tastes amazing, right? And it is an incredibly,
salty.
It's got a different texture and taste, but it actually is shockingly nutritious for humans and not fairly hypoallergenic. But, you know, one thing we underestimate sometimes is kids can definitely be lactose intolerant. And I remember talking to a teacher at my kid's school once when he was in elementary school, and she knew I was a nutritionist at the time. And she said, "Oh my God, pizza day is the worst day." She goes, "We give these poor little kids pizza at noon, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're tooting, they have no energy, they're bloated." I mean, nobody thinks of little, you know, like you just don't think of that as a thing. So, you know, as a parent, be aware and be mindful that, you know, dairy might be great for your child, but make sure that it really is, because otherwise it's going to be just as bad for them as it is for anybody else, if for any adult. Okay, so when somebody gets a diagnosis from a medical diagnosis of osteoporosis or osteopenia, let's go two ways here. We have our allopathic conventional medical doctor here, and then we're going to have the other direction. And, you know, I know my mom got a diagnosis early on. She was told to take a certain medication. She looked up the side effects and she's like, crossed her, and she's very funny. She crossed her arms. She's like, nope, 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 not doing that. Not going there. So maybe you can give people some insight into why that might have been a really good answer from her.
Let's go both paths. So let's talk about the standard treatment recommendation that 90%, 95% of people that I talk to are getting, which is take some calcium, take some vitamin D, go for a walk. Here's your bone drug. We'll see you in 2 years for your next bone density scan. That's the standard recommendation for 90% of people that get this diagnosis. And then we'll also talk about the natural route too. And so going the standard treatment recommendation. So just know that if you're going into a conventional physician, that the end of that conversation is probably going to lead to the recommendation for a pharmaceutical. if you get this diagnosis. And these are drugs that have a dramatic effect on bone physiology. It's not like taking an aspirin. And there are different categories of drugs. There are anti-resorptives, there are anabolics. Anti-resorptives are designed to slow down the activity level of cells that break down bone. Can they do that? Of course they can. Are there risks, side effects, short and long-term implications of use? Absolutely. So within anti-resorptives, there are bisphosphonates and rank ligand inhibitors. Bisphosphonates, a lot of people have heard of those. Fosamax, Reclasp, Boniva, Actonel, those are bisphosphonates. The safety and efficacy of bisphosphonates is not really well known beyond 5 years. And as you and I and everyone else going about our daily lives, doing daily activities, doing chores around the house, working out, you know, playing with the kids, the grandkids out in the garden, all those kinds of things, they start to create these tiny little micro cracks and fractures in our bones, little micro fractures. That's normal. Okay. That happens for everyone. And then you have cells within the bone called osteocytes that sense that damage and they send out a signal. They say, hey, we need to become stronger. So there are other cells that pick up that signal, osteoclasts, and they come in and scoop out that damaged bone. And right behind it, it's a coupled process. There are osteoblasts that come build stronger, healthier new bone, blast build. And that's a normal process.
And it's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good one. You're supposed to have this. And when you take some of these medications, especially for too long, multiple years, you can slow down that activity level too much to where you start to accumulate that old, worn, damaged, weakened bone. So even if you're taking one of these medications and it shows these anti-resorptives and it shows that your bone density is actually higher, the quality may not actually be there. It may not be stronger. So bone density, I talked about the bone density scan. When you get that scan, most people only have part of the picture. They only have that bone density part, the mineral content of the bone. But there's another part of your bone that's important. That's quality. Mm-hmm. Quality is the structural integrity, the microarchitecture, how that bone is organized. Those two things combine to create bone strength. So a lot of times, most people only have part of the picture. Now you can, at the time of or before you get your bone density scan, you can get the quality part of the picture too. If you call ahead to a facility, ask them if they have TBS technology, trabecular bone score technology, that can help you give or get the quality part of the picture. There's also another technology that is more prevalent in Europe right now, not surprising, that is having a harder time making its way into the US. And that is called REMS, radio frequency echographic multispectrometry technology. And it is used in a device called Echolight. And this can look, it's an ultrasound technology that looks at bone density, bone quality, and gives you a 5-year predictor of fractures. So that's another tool. Like there are ways to find out your bone quality. And you can see just how important bone quality is in that picture. And there is one other piece of information that is really important for people to understand if they really, truly want to understand what's going on inside their bones right now. And those are bone turnover markers. Mm-hmm. So these are tests that look at the activity level of cells that are breaking down and building up your bone. So the most sensitive marker for bone resorption or breakdown is called serum CTX, C-telopeptide test. That test looks at the activity level of cells that are breaking down bone. And if that activity level is elevated or even really high, that can be an indicator of active bone loss and a root cause issue that needs to be addressed. Okay. Now, if we're looking at bone resorption breakdown, we also want to look at formation. You don't just want to look at one side of the picture.
You need both. Yeah.
So look at formation too. So the most sensitive marker for bone formation is P1NP, procollagen type 1 N-terminal propeptide. And that looks at the activity level of cells that are building up your bone. So then you can look at those numbers, you look at the ratio, and you want to see those things improve over time too. So you can see improvements in those in 3 to 6 month periods. And you now don't have to guess what's going on in between your DEXA scans that are probably a year, year and a half, 2 years or more out.
Yeah. So, And you brought up an interesting, you said something very interesting there, collagen. And I think that, you know, people very often will focus on strong bones, but I think what they forget, and one of the shortcomings, I believe, of things like Fosamax is it creates brittle bones. And one of the components of bone that we under discuss and under stress sometimes is collagen, in that bone needs to be flexible to a degree so that it doesn't break, so that it can, you can apply the pressure that stimulates the osteoblast to do their thing without it kind of shattering on you. And I do think that, again, like when people are thinking about their bones, yes, you want bones that are strong, but they need to be flexible at the same time. And that collagen piece is really, really important.
It really is. Remember I said your bones are 50% protein by volume. That's a collagen protein matrix structure upon which minerals are laid. So it's a mixture of collagen, a mixture of minerals. That's what's going to make bones strong and healthy and flexible and dense. And you want the right combination of that too.
Perfect.
And one thing that can be really helpful for this, if we're talking about nutrients specifically, vitamin C is actually really important for the health of your skeleton.
Yeah.
Because just like we talked about, collagen is part of that protein matrix structure. Well, vitamin C stimulates procollagen. It enhances collagen synthesis and it stimulates alkaline phosphatase activity, which is a marker for bone building cell formation. And then on the opposite side of that, if you don't get enough vitamin C, especially long-term, that can increase the risk of fracture too. So it's really, really important to make sure you're incorporating that into your plan.
100%. And you had such an interesting point on vitamin C. I had a teacher in school that said vitamin C for collagen. And I never forgot that because, you know, vitamin C, people always think, oh, I'm getting a cold, I need to take vitamin C. But
yeah, I mean,
for collagen, for skin, for bones, for all connective tissue is really important. Okay, so you talked about the one class of medication. Is there a second class of medication, that an alternate route that people are directed towards?
There is. So actually, even within anti-resorptives, there's another category called rank ligand inhibitors.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be Prolia. This is one that a lot of people have probably heard about if they're at this decision point, or maybe your mother or grandmother is at the decision point. So if you are taking Prolia, an important note is that if you take this drug, you can't just come off it. You can't just stop.
Right.
Because if you do, you risk a rebound fracture. So when you stop taking the medication, you have this swarm of osteoclasts that basically increase their activity very, very quickly. And that can lead to a vertebral fracture. So you basically have to, if you're taking in an anti-resorptive like Prolia, you have to relay off it with a bisphosphonate just to not have that rebound fracture.
So does it just suppress the osteoclast?
It's slowing down the activity level of cells that are breaking down bone. So, but if somebody has taken 3 rounds or more of Prolia, so 1 round of Prolia is about 6 months. If you've taken 3 rounds of it, 18 months, you can't just relay with any old bisphosphonate. You have to use Reclast, which is the strongest one. It's an IV infusion bisphosphonate. So these are nuanced things that a lot of people do not know when they start taking these medications. So if you're in this situation, or you know a parent or someone else who is, ask them. And then remember, come back to this episode and go through what I just shared there. So let's talk about now the other category of medication that doctors are going to propose. And these are called anabolics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anabolics are designed to build bone, build better quality bone, and build it faster. This would be your Forteo, your Tymlos, your Evenity. Can they do that? Of course they can. And a lot of times they're recommended to patients who have poor quality bone and who have already fractured multiple times, especially if it's low trauma or no trauma. That's the patient that is going to get recommended this drug. Now, look, I am pro, do everything you possibly can naturally before ever considering medication as an option. So that's what we teach. We teach a natural approach in our programs too. At the same time, I can't be anti-medication because I have seen situations where it's necessary and life-saving for some people. So sometimes anabolics make sense. but if you take one, just know there's only a certain period of time you can take that, 12 months, 24 months, something like that. And then you have to follow it with an anti-resorptive just to not lose the bone you just gained. Okay. So again, you're usually going to commit to a medication, not just one medication. It's going to be multiple medications for many, many years, if not a lifetime once you start.
So with the anabolics, wouldn't it make sense that you could, and I'm curious about this actually, if you have someone that gets prescribed an anabolic and as well as with lifestyle and diet interventions, so increase your exercise, like change your life, right? So now you're going to start doing weight bearing exercise. If you're completely sedentary, if you're not sedentary, then maybe we start loading you up and thinking about heavy weightlifting or getting into a gym, like an OsteoStrong, where they're going to apply significant load to the bones to really stimulate them to build, and you correct for diet and supplementation and stuff. Do you still have to use the second medication? Like, can the anabolic just not do its thing and kind of give people a leg up?
Good question. Because there are people that come to me that they have just taken an anabolic and they just said, yeah, I just stopped taking it. I didn't want to take anything else. I didn't want to follow it. That's not a good decision. Okay. If you are taking an anabolic medication, number one, you monitor it with bone turnover markers. You mm-hmm. look at the activity level of those cells. You see where they're at. Is that osteoclast activity really high when you look at that serum CTX? Is it 700, 800, 900 higher? If it is, that needs to come down, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, you can obviously do nutritional interventions. You can be exercising. You can resolve your digestive issues. You can do all the holistic stuff. But once you've already had that medication intervention, it's really hard to just say, yeah, I'm just going to immediately go, cold yeah. turkey to 100% natural approach, because you've already messed with that bone physiology there. So I think it's important to, especially if you're on Prolia, don't just stop cold turkey. Especially if you're on anabolic, don't just stop cold turkey. You can relay off of those medications properly to where you don't have to take them again. Obviously, you wouldn't just use this conversation to do that. No. Yeah. Like you would talk to your doctor, you would monitor your bone turnover markers, but just be aware, just if you've already done that, don't just stop cold turkey.
Hey folks, if you're listening to this podcast, you are most likely pretty focused on maximizing your healthy years. Am I right? Not just a longer life, but the ability to do the things you love in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Inside Tracker can help you optimize your health span so that you live healthier for longer. How do they do this? By providing personalized plans based on your own body's data. Inside Tracker tests your blood, DNA, and can sync with your fitness tracker and then provide clear science-backed recommendations like nutrition, exercise, supplementation, as well as lifestyle. I've recently done Inside Tracker, and this means they sent a phlebotomist to my house and drew my blood, and I love it. It has helped me dial in when to have a rest day, when to improve recovery, and it's helped me to know that I'm fueling my body properly. Inside Tracker also recently added hormone testing to their plan, which already includes important markers like ApoB, the heart health indicator, vitamin D, magnesium, and cortisol. It includes 47 biomarkers. You can even test your DNA and even get your inner age, which is a biological age calculation, along with recommendations on how to lower that inner age. Now, Inside Tracker is running a special deal for Biohacking Superhuman Performance listeners. You can get their best deal 20% off by going to my special link. Just go to insidetracker.com/NIDAM20 to get the deal. Now, NIDAM is NIDDAM20. So insidetracker.com/NIDAM20 to get the deal. Let's get back to the episode. To your point that you brought up when you started with the anabolics is sometimes someone is at a point where there's been too much degradation to just go fully natural, right? So in a perfect world, you've gotten your baselines done when you're even in your 30s. Just to understand what's your starting point on your bone density. Every few years, you're going to monitor, you're going to stay active, you're going to do the things, and you avoid kind of coming off that cliff. It's a little bit like the pre-diabetes, type 2 diabetes conversation, right? If we can avoid hitting the edge of the cliff in the first place, then we're always going to benefit from that. So when we're talking about natural approaches, which I guess is where we're going next, unless there's another class of drugs we want to talk about. What are the guidelines of going with a more natural approach? Like if you have someone who obviously has already lost a lot of bone mass,
yeah,
what is the best way for them to address this? And, or you have a premenopausal or perimenopausal woman, her estrogen's tanking, her bones are kind of, you know, starting to show signs of going the wrong way. That's going to be a different protocol. So maybe we can just speak to those two scenarios. Yeah.
So the first thing I'll say is what might be in people's minds is you can build bone without medication. You can do that. It's possible. Okay. And you can also use bioidentical hormone replacement therapy that can play a role. So estrogen has a protective effect on bone, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, those can help with building bone too. You would obviously work with a practitioner to see if it's right for you first and what makes the most sense for you. There's not just a blanket protocol for that. So that's really important to note. But then from a natural approach, some of the most important foundations that you have to follow or, you know, have to be lined up: diet, nutrition, gut health, and exercise. I mean, that's one of the biggest, most important pieces. So let's just start with, we'll start with gut health because we kind of talked about that at the beginning. Yeah. But I do want to make another connection to bone here that most people don't realize when it comes to their gut health. So we talked about absorption. I talked about celiac disease, my personal journey with that, having an autoimmune condition, damaged the villi, couldn't absorb the nutrients, body went to the skeleton, pulled the minerals, osteoporosis, right? That's actually a common situation. So if you're listening to this and you have ulcerative colitis, if you have Crohn's disease, if you have celiac disease, or you know someone who has any of those conditions, especially celiac disease, you should have them ask their physician to run a bone density scan on them. Because I thought, oh, I'm a tough Marine. No way. My bones are going to be just fine. Nope. Wasn't the case.
Even if they're young. Yeah.
Even if you're young, especially right around that time of peak bone mass, 30 and up. I even see people in their late 20s too. Mm-hmm. Have them ask their physicians to do that. Get the bone density scan, get the test. That way you at least have a baseline. You know where you're at. So from a digestive issue perspective, we know to resolve those digestive issues, you got to make some dietary changes and reduce your stress. Those are some of them, and get some sleep. Those are the most important things for resolving those. And you have to go 100% gluten-free for celiac disease. There's no cheating. No
ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yeah. There's no negotiation there.
Don't even try. Don't even just sample. Not even worth it. 100% gluten-free. No, for the rest of your life. And then, so that's the absorption piece. Now, the other part of this is that your bones are not just these static tissues that hold you upright and carry you through life. They do that. They do a really good job of it, but they also are living tissue. They're endocrine organs. And within your bones, you have bone marrow. Bone marrow is this soft, spongy material that produces 95% of the blood cells in your body. So if you need help with preventing bleeding and clotting, platelets are going to help with that. If you need help with carrying oxygen to the body's tissues, carrying carbon dioxide away from the tissues back to the lungs, red blood cells are going to help with that. If you need help with fighting infections and healing wounds or anything related to the immune system, white blood cells are going to help with that. Now, the cells that break down bone, osteoclasts, are a form of white blood cell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anything that is related to the immune system or stimulating the immune system is speaking in the same language as the cells that break down bone. Where does 70% of your immune system reside? In your gut, right? So it's not just a matter of resolving digestive issues just for absorption. That is important, but it's also, are those digestive issues stimulating the immune system, speaking in the same language as the cells that break down your bone, contributing to bone loss and osteoporosis? So you have to resolve those digestive issues. So, so important.
Yeah. Yeah. It starts in the gut, 100%. Yep.
Then we get into diet, nutrition. And I won't go too deep in this, but I'll cover some big pillars, I would say. Yeah. Protein. Prioritize protein. Get your protein in at your meals. 30 grams would be a great minimum target for meals. And also, if you already have issues with your bones and you're trying to build your bones up, one meal a day is not going to cut it. Okay. I know sometimes people, you know, they're fasting or they want to do extended fasting. And I know that can be a tool, right? That can help with inflammation, and it can be a strategic tool at different points. But if you're trying to build bone, if you're just doing one meal a day, you're not going to get enough nutrients that you need to support that bone building plan. Okay. And then, so prioritizing protein, at least two meals, maybe three meals, splitting that up between multiple meals, and then getting other important nutrients too, like calcium. Now, we talked about dairy earlier. If dairy is not in your plan, how am I going to get calcium, right? I have an autoimmune condition. How am I going to get calcium? Well, there are a couple great things that you can add or incorporate. Number one would be small fish with the bones in. So these would be, you know, your canned salmon with a BPA-free can, of course, but canned salmon with the bones in. These are not hard, pokey bones that are going to hurt your mouth. They almost, I'm not making the case for fish here. They almost melt in your mouth, right?
Well, you know what? It actually, you can smush it. Like, you can make it into like a salmon salad or something. It's actually, I've done this. It's,
oh, I'm so much more utilitarian than you.
just crunch away.
Eating it out of the can. I'm such a caveman. You know,
yeah, that's because you're a dude. I need my capers and things like that. So
that's the Marine stuff. Food with sustenance at a certain point. And, you know, it's just, I can just eat it right out of the can. Some people can't. You can drizzle some Primal Kitchen dressing on it or something to make it taste good. But anyway, the reason why you want to get the smaller fish is they're not going to have as many of the bad heavy metals that we wouldn't want in there, like mercury. And get the sardines, wild canned sockeye salmon or pink salmon that have the bones in. Mackerel's another good one. And the reason I like these fish is because they have protein, number one. Mm-hmm. Protein, building blocks of your muscles and your bones. Number two, they have calcium, but not just calcium by itself.
Yeah.
It's calcium and all the other minerals and nutrients in the right ratios that nature put them in. Yeah. Okay. So that's what you're getting. You're getting a good healthy dose of that inside that the fish. And then the fish also have omega-3s. Mm-hmm. Omega-3s are like the dampeners of inflammation. So anything contributing to inflammation, especially when it's chronic, especially long-term, that's not going to be a good thing. So you get like a one, two, three punch there with just one food, which is great.
Love okay.
Another one is arugula. I love arugula. It's so mm-hmm. easy to add. And this is a bioavailable form of calcium that's from a plant, right? From some leafy greens that actually taste good. Now, a lot of times people will look at spinach. If you're looking at a package, maybe you're going to the farmer's market, but maybe you have to go to the grocery store. You see the package and it says, wow, lots and lots of calcium in spinach. Well, that calcium, there's also high oxalates mm-hmm. in spinach too. And oxalate's going to bind to that calcium. So it's not going to be bioavailable for you. So if you're wanting a lower oxalate green, especially if you have digestive issues, if you have a history of kidney stones, those kinds of things, swap that spinach for the arugula, right? Yeah. And the way you just incorporate it is you just toss it as, you use it as a side salad, small amount, put a little Primal Kitchen dressing, no affiliation. It's an easy one.
It's an easy one and it's relatively clean. It's pretty good for you. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that arugula is actually a cruciferous vegetable.
Yeah, same cruciferous family as broccoli and kale.
Exactly, exactly. But much easier to digest than kale, for sure. Yeah. Although poor kale, you know, it was the golden child for so many years. And now all of a sudden it's been thrown into the ditch and rolled in the mud. And we're not going to go there because we don't have time for that.
But if you are going to do kale, so
okay,
curly
for the
kale.
Love of God.
If you are going to do kale, I would opt for the Dino or Lacinato kale, which is lower oxalate than the curly kale. Right. Yeah, so,
And also having some, that squeeze of lemon on your calcium rich foods, because it'll help your body to take it in. What about bone broth? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah. So there's no research that specifically says bone broth will help your bones, but the components of bone broth can obviously be helpful for your bones and your gut health too.
Yeah.
So I love it. I'm a big proponent of it. I think it's a fantastic addition and it's easy. It's practical. Mm-hmm. You can go, one of the brands that I like I can't remember the name
Fire.
But it's, that's the shelf brand. I'm thinking about the one that's in the freezer, Bonafide, I think is the name of it.
Okay.
But they have like grass fed, it's frozen. That's got a little more gelatin in it or a little more mm-hmm. collagen, it looks like. a little more. So if you set it on the counter, it's got a little jiggle to it. That's how you know the more jiggle it has, the more collagen and gelatin it has, which is good. So I'll grab some of those and we'll use them in crock pot meals with some meat, some veggies, or we'll do it in a slow cooker. Or what's the other one? What's the other one that you put the
pressure
lid on?
Cooker. Pressure cooker.
Yeah. Right. So you use those and you're like, if you're saying, I don't have time to make a healthy meal. Well, yeah, you do. Take some bone broth, toss it in there, toss a little meat, toss a little veggies, leave it, go do your thing. You've got time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if you're going to eat grains, if that's part of your plan, which it may be, even gluten-free ones, cook them in bone broth. Like if you're going to cook rice, cook it in bone broth. Like it just amp up the nutritional value, make it build the nutrient density. Okay. So that's food. And
now
exercise.
You got to do exercise.
What's it going to take? Because it's not going to be walking around the block with your dog four times a day.
Oh, it's not.
Start, but it's not. That's not going to build your bones.
It's not. But remember what I said. The standard recommendation that most people are getting is calcium, vitamin D. Go for a walk. Take a bone drug. We'll see you in 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, walking is not enough. Mm-hmm. Is it good? Should you be doing it every day? Yes. It's good for your health. You should incorporate it. At the same time, just understand that when you're walking in the same direction over and over and over again. You're only working your lower half, like your forearms, an area where a lot of people fracture. How much work is getting done with your forearm or impact are you having with your forearm when you're walking? None whatsoever, right? So we have to have other stimulus for different parts of our body too. So when we're talking about the stimulus that bones need, you need two different types. You need muscle pulling on bone and you need impact. The most effective interventions, you're going to use one or both of those things in combination. So when we have muscle pulling on bone, you have a mechanical signal that sends a chemical signal to tell those bones to become stronger. Okay. And then the different types of exercise, I'm going to go through each one. I'm going to go through weight-bearing exercise, non-weight-bearing exercise. I'm going to go through resistance training and strength training. So weight-bearing exercise is exercise that your body and your bones have to work against gravity to keep you upright. There are things that you're doing on your feet, and that is placing a good, healthy stress on the bones. So this is where walking would fall, weight-bearing exercise, walking, jogging, hiking, gardening, playing with the kids or the grandkids out in the yard, yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, Qigong. All of those things, notice not all of those are formal exercise. Some of it can be fun and play, right? Yeah. So you can still get weight bearing, pickleball, right?
Yeah.
That's weight bearing. So that's good. We want to incorporate those things. There's also non-weight bearing exercise. This is where your body and your bones are not working against gravity to keep you upright. They're not placing that good, healthy stress on the bones. And this is what astronauts deal with when they go up into space. And when they, it's very much use it or lose it for your muscles and your bones. So if, you know, you're not putting that stress on your bones, you're going to start to lose bone density. You're going to have a really hard time maintaining it. And you certainly will not be building it. So what are the exercises that fall in that category? If you're doing long distance cycling, right? Yeah. Endurance cycling, especially long periods of time, that could potentially have a negative impact on bone mineral density. And then
swimming
also
is another one, right? Swimming.
Exactly. That's the next big one, swimming. Yeah. Now, it is not to say that if you enjoy swimming, to don't do it,
of course.
If it makes you happy, if it brings you joy, if it's where you relax and unwind with your family and your friends, do it by all means. But don't get in the pool five times a week, do a couple laps, get out and say, I'm done with my exercise, because you're not. Mm-hmm. You haven't provided the stimulus your body and your bones need to not just become stronger, just to maintain. Even as you age, it becomes so much harder. So you have to have that stimulus. And the other form of exercise, which is muscle strengthening and resistance training exercise. Mm-hmm. And that's where we bring in, you know, the barbells, the dumbbells, maybe it's the machines at the gym, if that's where your comfort level is at, if that's where you're going to start. Or I really like variable resistance bands too, incorporating those into a plan.
Yeah, I've got one right here.
So those can be fantastic also. Now, what are the exercises that are the big ones that we want to incorporate? Squats, deadlifts, overhead presses, and I say overhead presses, as long as you don't have a fracture already, like a vertebral fracture, last thing you want to do when you have a vertebral fracture that has not healed fully is to put a heavy axial load on that. Right? That can lead to other vertebral fractures. But if you don't have those fractures, those are great exercises to incorporate. Also things like box jumps, right? Getting some of that impact in there. Or when you're out walking or moving, you can also, you don't just have to walk in the same direction. As long as you've got good balance, maybe you do some side shuffles or some multi-directional impact type things, as long as you feel good about that. You know, it just depends on where you're at and in your exercise abilities. Mm-hmm. Some people are totally comfortable with that. Some people are worried about, you know, falling and things like that. If you're worried about falling, doing a bunch of crazy movements and stuff while you're out walking, probably not the best idea, especially when it's cold out too. So, but if that's not an issue for you, by all means, go for it. And by the way, the rep range, the rep range that we want to be in, the 5 to 10 repetition range can be a really good range to be in to help stimulate the muscle growth, the bone growth too.
Yeah, the thing with the 5 to 10, I think, is also to get heavy enough in that few reps, you kind of have to be at a certain level fitness-wise so that you don't hurt yourself. So I think a big piece of this is understanding that you're going to have to start where you are and work with someone who's skilled to help you to come along to where you need to get to. And one thing I've seen is, like I said, I mentioned my mom, like she had been diagnosed with, you know, osteoporosis. Like she was passed on, you know, she'd left Planet Osteopenia, was heading to osteoporosis, maybe had touched ground there. And she was experiencing severe pain in her hips from like she could, it was getting in the way of her ability to walk comfortably. And it just so happens that around the corner from her, there was a gym called OsteoStrong. And this is very specific gym. This gym is designed specifically for this purpose. And as an 80-year-old woman, like it is remarkable how 6 months later, what a transformation it made for her in terms of not just her bone density, but how much more functional she became. And I think in her case, because she was already at a point where her bones had degraded to the point where they were weakening, she needed that kind of structure and very specific planes of like working out in certain planes and moderating the weights so that it would put enough stress to grow bone, but not enough that it would shatter something.
Yeah, that's so important. And then OsteoStrong uses the concept of osteogenic loading. And that's based on the work of Julius Wolf, where that's where you're taking a force, you're loading a bone through its axis, and that's going to stimulate that bone to increase in density and strength. That's what that's all based on. And the way that OsteoStrong is set up is there are like four machines inside there. You go and you give a great effort and, you know, it helps stimulate that bone growth over time. Mm-hmm. It can also help with other things. A couple things there. I think it can be a great complement to an already well-rounded plan too, right? You can't remember what I said. You have to provide the stimulus. So you do need an exercise plan in addition to something like that, but you can't build that bone if you don't have the raw materials and resources needed to do so also. So kind of just like when you take a medication, you can't put all your faith in the medication because it's just a medication. It's not going to address the root cause issues, not going to address diet and nutrition. Sometimes it can make those things worse. Same thing with exercise. You can't just exercise and then not get the nutrition that you need, right? So there's multiple pieces that play into this. And a big one is if you are still actively losing bone right now, figuring out what the contributing factors are to that, and then slowly building your plan on that, and then adding in, you know, these other complementary technologies and things like that, vibration plates, rebounders, you know, these are the most common things, osteogenic loading, through OsteoStrong. These are the most common things I hear people share. And I always encourage people get a foundational plan in place and then start adding in those complementary things later on, if and when it makes sense for your situation.
Okay. So you run programs like this. So clearly your program is built around the foundation so that, you can add the vibration plate. You can add, I mean, the rebounder I think is really cool also because it's accessible. It's not a crazy expensive thing. You can have it in your house as long as your ceiling's not too low, because then you end up spinal injury, which is a different problem.
I know. And if you, And just another note on that. So again, if you already have fractures, or you have really poor quality bone, then you need to be really careful with the osteogenic loading, and then the loading a bone. If you've already got fractures, like vertebral fractures, or you're at really high risk of hip fracture or something like that, you got to be careful with rebounders and loading the bone. Right. So, just some important notes there.
100%. So, in your programs, what are you teaching people? Because my guess is you're hoping to get your hands on people before they've kind of fallen too far off where they need to be.
I mean, we see people at every
stage.
Of the spectrum. I mean, yeah. 20s to mid 90s. Most are women 40, 45 to 70, 50 to 70, somewhere in there. But we have plenty of people in the 70s to 80s too. Some people have bone density in the negative ones. Some are in the negative fives. Some have fractured no times and they're like, gosh, I'm relatively healthy. I just have this diagnosis. I feel like I'm eating healthy. I'm doing all the biohacking stuff. I'm, you know, doing all this great stuff. They don't really have a lot of other health issues. They're just trying to figure out what to do to optimize. Then there are people that have 15 or more fractures, right? They come see us. So there's a big spectrum there. The program focuses on getting the foundational plan in place that's right for you and your situation, where no matter where you are on that spectrum, and it covers all the important areas. So helping you figure out the root cause issues, monitoring those things over time with different markers that are important, addressing the digestive health, the nutrients, all that kind of stuff through the lens of bone health also.
Yeah.
So we're making sure we're maximizing those nutrients and the raw materials and resources you need to build stronger, healthier bones. And then building strength of body, mind, and bone in a way that prevents fracture and injury. So reducing the stress. Stress has a big role in your bone health. If you've got a lot of stress, you need to get a consistent plan in place to bring that down. I think 100%. That's a lot of people beat that drum. There's another vote for it for bone health. Sleep is another one. We have to improve our sleep, and it's pretty well documented. Poor sleep will reduce our bone quality. So you got to prioritize sleep, put the devices down a couple hours before bed if you can. Make sure you get up, get early morning sun, even for a couple minutes, get outside, get some early morning sun. Even if it's cloudy out, it can still have a good impact on your circadian rhythm. And then exercise, get the right plan in place. Now I listed off three exercises, right? And that can be intimidating for some people that have never done a deadlift, and they hear deadlift and like, they think of the bodybuilder with the big bar, yanking that up off the floor.
And it's got the word dead in it.
I know, right? That's just not appealing. And it's
whose idea was that?
It's kind of scary and intimidating.
Yeah.
And just like you said, we help people figure out what's the right approach, slowly get you up to where you need to be. We look at your body mechanics and then pain. Sometimes people just have pain not related to a fracture. It could be that they had a surgery a long time ago, or they've got neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, knee pain, hip pain, foot pain, whatever. That prevents them from doing exercise altogether, or it compromises their body mechanics and puts them at greater risk of injury. So we teach people how to navigate those things and just get the right Stronger Bones plan in place. So
perfect. The last thing, I know we have a hard stop, and I want you to give people your information on where to reach you. But there's one thing we haven't mentioned yet that I think is really important, and it's the first letter of your name. And we've mentioned D3, we've mentioned magnesium, we've mentioned calcium. We haven't mentioned K2, and I don't know how many times I've busted clients, family members, friends are like, oh yeah, I'm taking my vitamin D. And I'm like, seriously, like you're taking D on its own? Like who does that? So from the Bone Coach, will you deliver the lecture? Maybe they'll believe you on K2.
I'll give you the most important reason. So you need to incorporate, yes, D3 is important. Calcium is important. Magnesium is important. As you increase D3, your vitamin D and calcium intake, so too does your need for magnesium. That goes up too. Most of us are already deficient. I think most health experts will agree you can get more magnesium and you need it to rebuild your muscles and your bones. So that's important. And then vitamin K2 is important. The reason for that is vitamin K2 activates matrix GLA protein and osteocalcin, which is going to help build that bone And it helps the calcium go to where it's supposed to be instead of the soft tissues like the kidneys and the arteries where we do not want it to be. So you need to incorporate vitamin K2. Now, you can get it from food, but sometimes supplementation is really helpful. Okay. Yeah. So if you're getting K2, MK4, that's one version of it. You can get K2 MK4 from things like beef liver, grass-fed ghee and butter, pastured egg yolks, emu oil. You can get it from those sources. K2 MK7, you can get from our cheeses, fermented food, sauerkraut, kimchi, natto, and even bacterial fermentation in our guts. But even with those sources, most people would benefit from adding in additional K2.
Yeah.
So yes, that's another vote for K2 for sure.
Well, and it's a fat soluble, it's one of the four fat soluble vitamins. So it's easy one when you're taking your D3, just make sure it has K2 with it. And then
make sure you take, just like you said, those fat soluble nutrients, you need to take them with a meal. They're not something you just pop in the morning when you're drinking your water. It's not going to have the impact you want it to have. You got to take it with a meal.
100%. All right, Bone Coach, tell us where to find you and how people can access your amazing stuff.
Well, you can always find me at bonecoach.com. That is the best place to find all Stronger Bones resources, recipes, podcasts. My podcast with Nat is over there too. We talked about some really fascinating stuff with peptides and bone health. So check that one out for sure. I do have a Bone Coach osteoporosis podcast you can check out. And we're on all the major social channels at Bone Coach or at Bone Coach Kevin. But bonecoach.com is where you can go for the Stronger Bones programs.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure. And I look forward to chatting with you again.
Thanks, Nat.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I'd love to invite you to join my Biohacking Superhuman Performance community, aka the BSP community. This is a place where we dive deeper into longevity science, peptides, and bioregulators. If you're looking to get into the nitty-gritty on these larger topics, this is the place for you. Plus, we hold weekly Q&A sessions, either with myself or with special guests for live interviews for you to join, and you can ask questions to the community for everyone to answer along with myself. It's an amazing community. If you want to join, head over to natnidham.com/BSP-community to join or find the link in the show notes. Thank you so much for your continued support and for tuning into today's episode. I wish you all the best this week in your biohacking superhuman performance. Thanks so much for joining me on this episode of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please remember to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because that's what helps us to be heard and to be seen. If you'd like to connect with me directly, or if you'd like to leave any comments, or if you have any questions about this episode, please reach out to me directly through my website, natnidham.com. And of course, if you're not already a member of the Biohacking Superhuman Performance community on Facebook, that's where you'll find me every day. It's a short application. Just answer a couple of questions and you're in and interfacing with other amazing biohackers. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode.